Dermot and Dave on Today FM. That is Roxanne from The Police, and we are very excited, boys.
Sting, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thank you very much for dropping in. You're no stranger to Ireland. I mean, you've been here a few times, and you've been doing gigs here since the 70s.
I used to live here.
Clifton, wasn't it?
I used to live in Roundstone, which is near Clifton, in Connemara.
There's a great...
County Galway.
Great Bowron maker down in Roundstone.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a little factory. I can't remember his name, but I was in there watching him make them.
Wow, and you forgot his name. Little to you.
I bought one.
You bought one of you still don't know his name.
No, I can't.
Did you bring it?
No, I didn't bring it.
I could audition you.
Yeah. Well, oh no, he's
looking for a Bowron player.
He's terrible.
Damn it! This is my big break. I could have been in The Police / Sting.
You found out something interesting a couple of years ago as well about your great grandmother in Monaghan, and there were roots there, which you kind of said you knew.
You know, I knew we had Irish antecedents, but I didn't know where. And I did this program in America, like a Know Your Roots program. And they sent me to County Monaghan, and I saw the poorhouse. Where Mary Murphy, who was my great-great-grandmother, died.
Right.
And she had lots of kids. One of them escaped to Newcastle, and that's my nearest relative. But I met some people who had, you know, I didn't know I was related to. She was a Murphy. She was called Mary Murphy. So it was rather sad, actually, to go to a poor house. You know, people were punished for being poor.
It was just a bizarre scenario.
It was really weird. And that philosophy that, you know, the rich are rich because they deserve to be rich and the poor are poor because they deserve to be rich, like some sort of providence.
So do you get every Murphy you ever meet now claiming claiming some kind of inheritance?
Don't mind that Sumner name. It's all Murphy.
Looking for a...
We're all Murphys.
So, I mean, do you see an affinity between your Irish roots and your Newcastle roots? Do you see connections in terms of the music and the...
You know, the folk music of Northumberland on Tyneside is very rich. There's a Northumbrian tradition, which is also Celtic, but there was a massive Irish-Scots migration during the 19th century, which my great-grandfather was part of. They brought the music with them. So the folk scene in Newcastle is very, very rich and very developed. And my play, The Last Ship, which I'm here to talk about, by the way, is full of those references. You know.
Well, actually, that's something I wanted to play a little clip for everybody, because one of my favourite songs from The Last Ship is What Have We Got? But there's such an Irish sound to that. Have a listen to this.
What have you got? From the telling of the fables and the memories of the ships that we've been building donkey's years. What do you got?
What have we got?
What do you got?
What have we got?
We've got nout. We've got nout else.
Yeah, that sounds like a good Paddy's Day sing song in a
slasher,
It is. It's an unmistakable Cayley sound, in fairness. And when you hear that, do you hear Northumbria? Do you hear Scotland? Do you hear what do you?
I hear the whole mix. You know, Newcastle, Tyneside was a boom town for the coal, and people came from all over the British Isles to live there. So it's a very rich culture.
So when you were growing up, where was the music in your house?
My mother was a piano player, and my father sang. And when they weren't fighting, they would actually play together.
Right.
It wasn't very often.
And in the Last Ship, so for people who maybe don't know, The Last Ship is, talk us through the evolution of it, because was it first, you kind of had a writer's block, and then you wanted to write again, so you wrote about home, and you wrote about everything you knew.
You know, I've been a confessional songwriter for most of my life, writing about my own issues, you know, getting it round and round in my own head. And so it was nice to be able to use that skill set, really, to tell the story of other people. And what better people to tell the story of than my own community, the community I came from. So I went back, started to write a cycle of songs about people who worked in the shipyards, people I was brought up with. You know, I was born right next to the shipyard. I was raised there. And it was a way of giving a narrative to people who'd never had their story told before. And I thought, that's actually what I'm here for. That's my job. That's why I was exposed to that as a kid, even though I wanted to leave that town and not be part of that. To go back there was very important for me, to pay a kind of debt, to pay a kind of emotional debt to the people that brought me up.
And I love the idea that as soon as you started to think of these characters, the songs and the music almost just downloaded into your head straight away as soon as you open that tap.
It was weird because I'd been blocked for a long time, and then this kind of projectile vomiting came out of just song after song, rhyming couplet after rhyming couplet, story after story, character after character, as if they'd been bottled up inside me.
Yeah.
It was so weird and very heartening.
And what was the reaction then, or what has been the reaction by your fellow town folk? And did you go back to...
Well, we're going
to
open the show in March in Newcastle.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, the problem is there's a lot of people in Newcastle who I owe money to. So they'll be in the front row.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
So,
you
know,
that's why you changed your name. You were just essentially on the run.
You did,
of
course.
On the run for a long time. I have to go back, face the music now.
You did hire a couple of other Tyneside heads. Obviously, you have Jimmy Nail in there, and he's going to be starring in the musical in the board, Gosh Energy. But here he is singing one of my favourite songs off of it called Shipyard.
Oh, my name is Jackie White, and I'm foreman of the yard. And you don't mess with Jackie on this quayside. Why, I'm as hard as iron plate. We'll be tied you if you're late, when we have to push the boat out on a spring tide.
As if that wasn't enough, Brian Johnson of AC/DC also made an appearance in that verse. Is amazing.
I once gave up the drinking. Was it 1963? But it seems as if sobriety was not the thing for me. It was the worst 3 hours I ever hoped to say.
To try and get Brian on the show, really.
Oh, God,
he's fantastic.
Yeah.
But there's a lot
of
humor.
It sounds like an after party about to happen all the time, isn't it?
There's an awful lot of humor in The Last Ship, though, isn't there? I mean, like, there's some really serious themes, but, like, there's like the tartan paint and the skyhooks and my first day on the job. And
the core of the play is a very serious message, but there's a lot of fun and joy around it. And, you know, it's that's what life is. Yeah. You know, you make the best of a tough life.
You said before that when you left Newcastle, you never wanted to go back. You were like, you were done. It didn't represent what you saw as your own future. So then, obviously, you hooked up with Stuart Copeland and Andy Summers, and the whole Police thing kicked off. But I love seeing different interviews with you over the years and how your songwriting and your approach to songwriting changes and the restrictions that you had at some point and you don't have now. Like, I was watching a bit where you were talking about Message in a Bottle, and you wrote that on the back of a bus.
I did.
which is some achievement for such an iconic tune.
Well, they used to stick me in the back with the gear.
Yeah.
And I'd just get my guitar case out and write songs while they were... I don't know what they were doing, but I was writing songs in the back.
Yeah.
Not what the rest of them were doing, that's for sure.
And for Ghost in the Machine, you only had 4 weeks to write that entire album.
I did. And I wrote that in Clifton, Roundstone.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's my favourite Police album.
There you go.
But it's mad when you think about it, that a band with that success at the time would be given... just 4 weeks to write an entire album.
I think sometimes that pressure, that deadline, it works for you. You know, if you have an open-ended schedule, you'll take that long to do anything. So just having 4 weeks, that's perfect. Mm.
And
that's what we needed.
Was joining the Police, in a way, to draw a kind of an analogy, was that a bit like being a sailor, in the sense that you had to leave the land where you were from and travel around, earn your money, and then come home?
Still the same job. I'm still doing the same thing. I mean, I've been on the road since 76.
Yeah.
That's my life.
What is your favourite Police song? If you were to put one on at home yourself.
Like I do that. No.
Not ever from time to time? No.
I only ever hear the music I've created by accident in a shop or something. You know,
and do you always try to cringe, or do you?
I always get them to turn it off. Please, I don't want to hear that. I don't listen to this stuff. No.
Mm. Well, do you mind if we listen to it?
Oh, no, not at all.
So we're going to play "Message to Bottle" because it's just such an iconic tune.
It is,
and
good riff.
Yeah, and when we come back, I want to talk about more of your solo stuff then, and stuff you've done since the Police.
Right, okay. But here is "Message in a Bottle."
A deal.
Dermot and Dave and Sting on Today FM.
Oh, wasn't that great?
Oh, what a song. It's Dermot and Dave on Today FM, and we are live with Sting.
Do you ever listen back to songs that you've made and go, oh God, I wish I'd done that differently on that one?
Okay, if I hear a song of mine by accident, and it's always by accident, I'm usually surprised by it because I hear myself as a younger musician making decisions that I don't know how I knew. You know, I have much more musical knowledge now, but how did I make that decision when I was just using my intuition or just guessing?
Yeah.
So I'm usually pleasantly surprised by what I hear. But, you know, for me, a song is an organic living thing that you're constantly, incrementally changing night by night as you perform it. It's not the same song it was 30 years ago.
Mm.
You've adapted it, you know, in a way that's sometimes profound, sometimes very subtle, but it's always moving. It's always moving ahead. It's never finished.
What's it like then when you made the decision to go solo and you start surrounding yourself not with a trio, but with like a wealth of varied and really talented musicians?
Yeah.
Like you're the head, you're the focus of that, but like it's a bigger deal, isn't it?
I think as a songwriter to be given a larger palette to paint with is such a gift. You know, when you've limited yourself to, you know, guitar, bass and drums, which is very, you know, it's great that you can do that, but when you're given the entire musical realm to explore, that's great too. My last album, I went back to, you know, guitar, bass, and drums.
Yeah.
So there's no hard and fast rules about how you do it. My thing is you have to keep changing your method to capture creativity, which is a very elusive creature, and you only catch it by accident. So you have to constantly be like a hunter in the snow. You never know when it's going to appear.
And is that why you've channeled so many different ethnicities of music and styles of music throughout the years, and you've, like, you know, some of my favorite things, like Brand New Day, that record, which has so much Middle Eastern stuff on it and has country sounds, you know, like you don't tend to sit still in a style and go, right, this is it for a while.
I'm led by curiosity more than anything. I'm curious about music, and it's a language that's common to all of us, all through cultures. I'm interested in hybrids and in creating not pure music. I like folk music, but I don't want to create pure folk music. I shouldn't do that. I like creating hybrids with classical music, pop music, jazz, blues, whatever. And in the hope that you can create a synthesis that's new. That's really the quest, to try and create something that can't be defined.
Mm.
I think definition for a musician is death.
You've worked with so many other people. Is there?
It's pretty grim, wasn't it?
Yeah. A little, but look, you know, if that's what it is. That's what it is.
It's Jeff.
Is there anybody that you? I mean, who have you enjoyed working with the most, you think, over the years? Because you've hooked up with so many different artists.
I've worked with some incredible people, from Miles Davis on down. You know, I mean, one of the great privileges of my life is meeting people who I idolized, you know, when I was growing as a musician, and being on the same stage with them or in a recording studio. I just worked with John McLaughlin, who was my idol.
Mm.
But yeah, that's one of the best things about my life. I get to work with these people who I adore.
And your guitarist Dominic has been with you for an awful long time, and his son is playing with you now, isn't he?
His son. We had a father son tour where my son Joe was with us, and Dominic's son Rufus was my second guitar player. It was really an insurance policy in case Dominic fell off his perch, you know. Yeah.
Well, for the rest of us, we might do a father and son golf day, you know.
Yeah.
He gets to do a father and son world tour.
And you mentioned the latest record, 57th and 9th, which is amazing, but you realise that you've kind of, I don't know, accidentally or on purpose, made a pilgrimage now for people to go to 57th and 9th and just kind of go, wow, what did Sting see that
you
was
know,
here?
There's a lovely restaurant on the corner called the Morning Star.
Yeah.
Which you can have a nice cup of coffee. It's a Greek restaurant. Okay. Very nice. Very nice for lunch or breakfast.
A friend of mine who's as big a Sting fan as I am, after the album came out, purposely went to New York. She said her name is Blahi and she lives in Dublin.
I walk by there every day.
Yeah. On the way to the studio?
On the way to the studio.
Right.
If you were a real fan, Dev, you would have gone to the cafe, not your friend.
Yeah, no, she's
you
a real,
won't recognize
she's a real
me fan. If you're waiting for me, you won't recognize me.
No, you're serving coffee behind the counter, I know.
He's probably serving wine, actually. How's the vineyard going?
My vineyard is doing great. People are loving the wine. We have a thing called Message in a Bottle, a new wine. One called Sister Moon. I'm naming them after my songs.
Yeah,
and Roxanne's coming out soon.
Nice. Cool. Is Sister Moon the really posh one?
Sister Moon is the very posh one.
Yeah.
So you'll probably go for a cheaper model.
I'm definitely Roxanne. I think I'm...
yeah. Blue Nun.
Do you have crates of the stuff at home? If someone comes around to your house, do you drink them your wine?
Yeah, we drink most of it. You know what? The best thing is giving your wine to somebody and they go, they're very skeptical when they take it. Oh, another celebrity wine, I sure. Mm. And to see their faces change when they realize that they're actually drinking a quality wine. It's very heartening to hear and to see that.
Have you tasted Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's wine?
I have.
And what do you think of theirs?
It's very good. It's really good. In fact, I almost bought that estate about 20 years ago.
Oh.
Mm. That's a very good wine.
Where's your estate?
It's between Florence and Siena.
Oh, right.
But you're pretty hands-on, though. They don't go near theirs, as far as I've heard.
I'm treading the grapes myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I clean my feet before I do that. But I always take my socks off. Maybe that's the special thing.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, quite woolly.
Yeah.
Bit of a polyester in there, but very clean
polyester?
On the palate.
No
polyester socks.
Cotton, 100%.
So Liz, so like usually if we talk to a gentleman of a certain vintage who was a rock star, we'd be asking him about what it's like being a rock star and a dad. Yeah. But you've gone another generation. You're now a rock star and a granddad.
I'm a serial grandparent. Yeah. I have six
grandkids now.
Between the ages of 5 and 8 months.
And did they tend, even, does the 5-year-old have an idea what granddad does yet, or is it still?
Oh, the 5-year-old is already, you know, practicing her dance moves,
right.
and write songs. It's just extraordinary.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. And we're all going to be together at Christmas. There's a huge tribe of us.
Where do you all gather?
Well,
we'll make sure we're outside the gate.
I've got a gig on New Year's Eve in Nassau in the Bahamas, so we've got this little island that we borrowed from somebody. So the whole tribe is going to be stuck on this desert island with one palm tree and some socks. You know that cartoon.
That sounds fantastic. So you're all going to be there on the island, and you're doing a show as well.
I'm doing a show in a hotel on New Year's Eve.
Right. Wow.
And I get paid.
That so beats my New Year's Eve plans.
Well, well tell us. I'm delighted. I want to know now.
I think I might be going to my sister's house.
Oh, okay. It's nearly the same as an island in Nassau. Well, yeah.
Possibly.
If on a winter's
Shankill.
If on a winter's night isn't quite a Christmas record, but it is a winter record. Yeah. It's focused on some traditional Christmas motifs and ideas.
Well, we wonder why you never brought out a proper traditional Christmas album.
Mm. You see, and Dermot and I have just finished our own tour of Ireland, a comedy tour. And one of the things we do is we teach people to sing like their favourite singers. And within that, our Dermot does a pretty damn fine Sting impersonation.
Do I really have to hear that?
Yeah, okay. you really do. Okay. So,
we've made your Christmas album.
Yeah. So,
thank you so much.
For example, you could release this.
Every year my Christmas lights get tangled. All I wanna do is turn them on. Now the bloody Christmas tree looks mangled, and the nagging from my wife it still goes on.
So it's about the trials and tribulations of getting lights on the tree.
Decorations
can
be tough.
There's a touch of Rod Stewart in there.
Well, let's judge this one. You could also have this option.
If I ever lose my gift receipt.
It can happen.
If you what?
Lose my gift receipt.
I'll be left with slippers on my feet.
Pretty good.
Super socks.
It's a high note. And then, of course, the classic for the kids.
Rudolph! You don't have to put on the red nose. Don't be a slave to Santa and drag that fatty through the sky. Rudolph!
So we think like a 33-33-33 cut would probably work.
I need to speak to my lawyer right now. If you're listening.
Actually, speaking of Christmas, maybe you have no memories of it, but I had a great chat one time with Howard Jones, if you remember him from the 80s, and he had great memories of Band-Aid and Live Aid. Do you remember anything about that time, or all of you been together and singing with Bono in the studio and all that?
No, I spoke to Geldof this morning.
No way.
He said, what are you doing in Dublin? I'm selling my ship.
I got a ship to sell, Bob. Was that something you remember fondly?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was an extraordinary achievement. And really down to Bob's energy, Bob's energy, to pull that thing together. Extraordinary.
Were you happy with the line that you got in the song?
Was it the bitter sting of something? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, well, everyone says that Bono got the best line. And, you know, it's typical Bono that he would muscle in and get the best line.
I was actually the first person in the studio in Midyear's little house.
Yeah. Mm.
And there's him and Bob there, and I sang all the harmony.
That's right.
And then they just left me one line. So I was happy to be involved. It was great.
Well, listen,
it did sound a bit like Zed Cars, though, to me. You know that?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. Bob will never forgive me, but he won't hear this.
No, Bob will never. He never listens to us. He hates us. Yeah, he purposely avoids us. Listen, for everybody who's listening, this is Sting with Dermot and Dave. The Last Ship is coming next year, June 4th to 9th, 2018, in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Dublin. Tickets available right now, though, from boardgoshenergytheatre.ie. Sting, we're so thrilled for you to hang out with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
And will you come back for the actual shows?
No.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Will you come back here? No.
No, you'll never come back here.
I'm coming back for the opening night. I'll be here in me tux.
Well, rather than never come back, we'll never let you leave. So lock that door.
Yeah, bolt the door. Is there a particular Sting song that you would like to play out
on? He hates his own music. Oh, that's a terrible thing to ask me. I don't know. Yeah, play Petrol Head from the latest album.
Okay, brilliant.
A bit of rock and roll.
Yeah, Petrol Head.
Okay, done.
This is Sting with Dermot and Dave on Today FM. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.